I don't have it. I don't see it. But he says he has it. And all of us being like, yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, I think I remember Kevin having it at one point.
Yeah, he's definitely got that deed.
Yeah, sure. Totally makes sense. Yeah, Kevin's got it. I think Kevin got that. Boom. Kevin, can we have a ride?
Own blockchain.
Yep. It's a analog blockchain. The clap
like
that nobody heard.
Not fungible token Sitsock. Someone put it in
Sitsock,
FP
everybody.
Sitsock.
This is Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Joe.
Reds. And I think today we're talking about NFTs. That's
right. We talked about a point last time, and we're carrying over.
What's it stand for? First things first.
Right, Kyle?
Not fucking trying. I mean, non-fungible token.
Non-fungible token. Which right off the bat should scare you because everything's fungible.
What is fungible
mean? I don't
even
know what fungible means, yeah.
Money is fungible. So, for example, Joe, if you give me $10 and Kyle, I give you $10, it doesn't have to be the same $10 for it to have the same impact on my finances. I don't have to give the same $10 note from one to the other. So I could take $10 from Joe and then I could give $10 to Kyle and they could be completely different $10, but they go into the same accounting ledger.
Okay.
This is why when people talk about like earmarking funds for stuff in like a budgetary standpoint, doesn't make a lot of sense unless you actually adjust the budget, because it's like, yeah, we'll take this and we'll definitely only spend it on whatever. And then they just quietly shift the budget on the back end to where, yeah, your money went there, but money's fungible, so we could just also change the allocation elsewhere, because it doesn't fucking matter. So a non-fungible token means that it is baked in and non-trainable and non-exchangeable, and it's just permanently there. I have done some research into this. I have stopped doing research because I decided it was stupid. So there might be more to it than I know. Maybe Kyle can correct me. But as far as I'm aware, and this is something that's important to remember about the blockchain in general, is that the blockchain is a ledger, which means it's basically a big piece of paper with transactions written on it.
And the whole benefit of blockchain to people who really like it is that it's very, very secure because there's always theoretically a backup of the blockchain, so it's uncorruptible in some people's eyes. And it's
no,
like
I'm gonna have to be
no, do it because
actually,
I'm talking
gonna have to
I'm
actually you that, just because the word secure is misleading.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to come up with a like hard juxtaposition.
It is backed up. It is multi-tenant. It is shared across multiple people. It is also completely public. Absolutely no information can be hidden from it whatsoever. Anything on the blockchain is visible to everybody forever by design.
But that's as secure as you can get because everybody knows.
Exactly. So when you talk about security, that can be misleading. It's secure in the same way that the Constitution or the text of the Constitution of the United States of America is secure because it's been duplicated and copied and preserved in so many places, we're never going to forget it. It is not secure like your bank information is secure, which is that
it's
secret.
Yeah, it's not private.
You can keep it safe.
Secure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, it is definitionally absolutely never private and in no way can ever be even remotely private whatsoever.
And that's the benefit of the blockchain ideology when it comes to non-fungible tokens, is that the non-fungible token is the original print. Like, it's the, and I don't mean print in art, I mean, like, it's in the blockchain, so you can always see who owned the...
It's permanent.
The thing. Yeah, it's permanent. Yeah. It stays there in the blockchain, so nobody can say, like, well, this is the idea anyway, that there's only one Mona Lisa, and then blockchain supports that you own the only Mona Lisa, right?
Yeah, you can't be like, no, my Mona Lisa is the other one, because otherwise, all digital data can be infinitely copied, and the original source can be completely fabricated, and you have no way of knowing. So the principle of the non-fungible token is that by baking something into the blockchain, essentially, as you would write it down in a massive ledger, you've got proof saying this wallet ID has claimed this token.
And unless that person sells it or moves it around, it doesn't actually, like, that's there in the blockchain. And that's the same way how, like, Bitcoin and stuff works, too. I mean, like,
Blockchain is what all of the cryptocurrencies use for their, well, not all, most cryptocurrencies use a blockchain to track transactions.
And that's
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, you're good.
No, you're good.
So the principle behind this is that Bitcoin miners are calculating checksums, essentially, against that ledger, which confirms that the ledger hasn't changed. And then those get baked into the blockchain so that no one can tamper with the ledger, because everybody has now got computational proof that the ledger is as it was going into this equation.
It's incredibly confusing, and even I don't understand how you mine Bitcoin.
I have to admit, dude, I'm so fucking lost already. Well, I'm sorry.
Don't try to wrap your head around Bitcoin. And
the big pieces to think about are: mining is essentially confirmation, mathematical confirmation, and proof that the ledger hasn't changed. Imagine, you can think of it, not instead of mining, think of it as somebody who sits down and measures all of the letters out in a ledger, like all of the things, and they measure each little piece, and then they write it all down. So if someone comes back and says, huh, it looks like this says it's this letter, which should be this tall and this wide and have these many strokes in it, but it looks like this here is different, that means you're not following the ledger, so you can have proof that someone tampered with the ledger.
It's kind of like quality assurance a little bit, like you're like able to validate the quality of something. And it's not that's not like the right way to think of it, but as far as like people who have been involved in like QA and stuff like that before, you're like, the mining act is you validating the quality of the ledger.
All of those get baked into giant, and the blockchains are basically just giant checksums, you know, giant computational proofs that this stuff is as you said it was, so that no one can come back and be like, no, actually, in 2017, Joe gave me 100 bitcoins. So I have 100 bitcoins. You can't go back and change that, because all of this math says, no, you can't have done that, because then the equation would say this, and it doesn't say that, it says this.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
How does that translate to, like, value? Like, how does the act of mining and validating translate to, like, a Bitcoin or, like, something like that?
Like, that's so kind of where that's the part that's really hard to comprehend and articulate, and I get it, and then I have to explain it, then I lose it. So I'm on the cusp of comprehending that, but it has to do with once you complete a certain chunk of, like, a certain amount of computation, you end up with a number that, or you end up with a result that constitutes a unique identifier that correlates to a Bitcoin.
So you've,
dint of the way the algorithm works, so you end up with a result after a certain amount of computation, and that, like, prime number essentially, or GUID or whatever it is, represents a Bitcoin. And so by dint of you having discovered it, you now have a right to it. That is a bit of a simplification.
Still doing that to this day.
Well, then there's a limited amount of them, right? So.
Yeah, there's a finite number of solutions to these things.
I'm lost too, Joe. Like, that's the part I never.
That part, I have a hard time doing. Just suffice to say, there is a computational thing they do to get the coins. It's increasingly hard with every coin found, and it has impact on the blockchain itself. That's as far as I can get, as far as explaining it. And then I always lose the thread, and I'm like, wait, what? So I'll admit that part I'm still confused on. But the key thing to remember is that the way Bitcoin works, and what Bitcoin is, and why we talk about the blockchain, is the Bitcoin blockchain is, like I said, a ledger, right? Like your checkbook, you know, that thing.
Right.
And when you do any transaction, that gets recorded to the blockchain. So it says wallet ID 8675309, exchange 0.001 bitcoins with wallet 426969. Right? So that gets baked into it forever. And it is absolutely not private at all whatsoever. And in order for you to transfer Bitcoin to somebody, you have to know their wallet ID. Like their actual wallet number. And in order to transmit from that, you have to have that and a key. So people who have lost their wallet keys have lost all the bitcoins they have claimed to because they can no longer transfer from that.
Well, and that's why when you say private or secure, it's like one of those really weird things because you'll never know technically who owns the wallet because you never have to. You only have to know the wallet ID and or the key and potentially.
And this is the part that I really can't stress enough. These are not the same as being anonymous.
That's true. Like, I mean,
because at the end of the day, here's the thing. Bitcoin still isn't real.
Right.
At the end of the day, I can't eat Bitcoin.
But it does have liquidity in terms of being able to be spent on stuff. And that's where, like, some of the cryptocurrency gets crazy, right? Because, like, Dogecoin is purely collectible. There's
Dogecoin can be used for purchasing as well now.
Okay, fair enough.
So here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. All transactions made with Bitcoin are public. So if, for example, you decide to ransom a fucking pipeline and demand Bitcoin going into a wallet, they know the wallet. So then they just look in the blockchain for whoever else trades Bitcoin with that wallet, and then they go find any money changers who are converting to dollars or whatever, and they look for the ones that are using that wallet ID to receive funds and then exchange for money, and then they send large men with guns to them and say, tell us who you gave this money to or we'll murder you. And then they tell them who they gave the money to, and then they go find you and they murder you.
But how can they know who they gave the money to if it's all wallet IDs?
Well, here's the thing. Eventually, you want to get it out of Bitcoin.
That's fair. Okay, fair enough. I get it.
Right? It's the edge. And so it's like, okay, well, for example, what would you buy with your $1 billion of ill-gotten Bitcoin?
Probably only stuff I could buy online that accepted Bitcoin. So I don't know. Probably not food.
Okay, well, so fine example. What would you just What accepts Bitcoin? And I don't want to put you on the spot because I don't even know. But say Newegg accepts Bitcoin, right?
Hi.
So Newegg accepts Bitcoin. So Kevin steals $3 billion of money from the oil pipeline or the gas pipeline, and decides to buy some really sweet new graphics card, which costs about $2 billion because it's a graphics card, right?
That's about what it costs.
Yeah. So we look and we see this transaction in the ledger, the public ledger.
So you go to Newegg
of $2 billion to Newegg's wallet. We roll up to Newegg and say,
how do you know it's Newegg's wallet, though? That's what I'm asking.
Because Newegg, when you go to Newegg and you say, I want to pay you, they say, okay, here's our wallet ID so you can pay us.
Oh, because
they have to tell you that.
Yeah, okay.
Because then you need to be able to transfer it, right?
Well, yeah, but I guess I'm trying to think of, like, you're right. So at some point, the money has to come out of Bitcoin, whether that be to the company that accepts the Bitcoin.
And even either way, like if they say, okay, looks like you got $2 billion in Bitcoin to this wallet. Here's the transaction ID. Where did you ship this graphics card?
Yeah, yeah. Or like even if they don't do it, like they can talk to the person who Newegg exchanged the money to and figure out it was Newegg.
And so
then they
go
back in the chain. Got it.
Yeah, and this is the thing where they're always like, oh, because it's whatever, it's safe. Oh, you're secure over here. And it's like men with guns show up and then start killing people until they get answers.
But
right?
It's
like,
all levels of safeness, I guess, right? Like, I mean, we don't honestly think that no one couldn't get in. No one could get in. No one – yeah, someone could not get into your house if they wanted to. But the door makes you feel safe anyway.
Well, the door keeps people from walking up and just wandering in. Right,
it keeps people who are willing to not break down the door out.
It keeps people who aren't interested in putting more effort into it than just walking through a door. Right, it's kind of like when you lock your car. Breaking a car window is a lot more work than checking a car door handle.
That's true.
Like a lot more work, and it's a lot more obtrusive. Opening a car, taking something out of it, and walking away is very unobtrusive. Smashing a window, setting off an alarm, grabbing things out of it, running away—that's obtrusive. And it's all about who you're hiding from. If you're trying to scam me, Bitcoin's great because I'm not going to be able to – I don't have the resources to track down where you're spending that money. But when you're stealing billions of dollars or whatever it was from a gas pipeline that's got government backing and shit, like, they're going to fucking find you, dude. Like, this is – it's like the whole – it's Die Hard. Like, what do you expect was going to happen when they have all these bearer bonds and then you're going to go to a helicopter? Like, where are we going to go? It's a fucking helicopter. We know where it went. Like, it does. You never think this shit all the way through. Like, it especially, like, gold, at least gold is gold, and you can't really trace it unless you do some weird molecular analysis, and no one does that outside of movies. But Bitcoin's literally the most tracked public ledger possible. The reason people think it's cute is because you can go buy drugs online at such small dose amounts of things and small amounts of money into such transient entities that come and go that the government can, A, doesn't give a shit if you're buying, like, $100 worth of heroin off of the internet or some fucking, like, pills. They don't care. They don't have the resources to follow up on all of that shit. So they're not going to bother. Plus, the company you're buying it from isn't even a real company. It's some shady thing. It comes and goes. The wallet's probably a burner wallet. All this stuff here. But that's because you're talking, you know, 3-4 figures of money. When you start throwing around the billions, you can't hide that shit. You can't just pretend it's not real.
They must have thought they had a way to do it somehow.
Like, it's not going to be worth what you'd have to do. You'd have to, like, buy graphics cards on Newegg and hawk them on
eBay. Oh, you mean laundering? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, the laundering cost.
Like, slowly, one at a time, over time. I mean, like, what's...
Oh, you still mean laundering?
The only thing you could do is try to bamboozle it by doing, like, thousands and thousands of wallet transactions to spread it across everywhere, but...
Yeah.
When you get to the billion level, there it's worth following you then.
Hey, it worked for Walter White, okay? So all you have to do is, like, donate to his son's, you know...
Point of order. Did it work for Walter White?
I mean, he's...
In the end?
I don't remember. Anyway, back to NFTs. So,
yes,
the whole thing about this podcast was originally NFTs, and the way people are wanting to leverage or are leveraging non-fungible tokens is that it's like stamping original pieces and original things so you can claim unique ownership of a thing. Like, you are the owner of X, right?
You are a pirate, yes.
So, like... Thoughts, feelings. I can only wait till the day when, like, Adobe's like got a NFT like associator with any kind of like tool they use to make art, where you can just like pay extra money to save it with an NFT and show you're the creator.
So, just, like, and I think
copyright
it's,
and stuff.
So that's the thing, is like, so when you create something, like, do you also generate the NFT for the thing you've created? Are you the actual owner of the thing you've created, or is this something that can literally be bought out from you? Like, as far as I understand, the last thing that I saw about this that made any fucking semblance of sense was that, like, the NFT for the one of the earliest YouTube videos, Charlie Bit My Finger, was sold. Like, somebody owns that now.
I thought I saw the same for the Rick Astley.
They did it for, like, the first tweets. A lot of people are doing it for, like, their first things or things that are famous.
Yeah, I just, I don't understand. What I don't understand is what the fuck that means. And, like, okay, somebody's basically got the rights to something that somebody else created. Okay, I kind of get how that works. But what does that mean for, like, the actual term, like, does no one get to see that? If that video pops up on YouTube, do you get...
You can go see the
Mona Lisa at the museum, right? So that doesn't answer my question, though. So it's like...
It means nothing.
Really? It just is
nothing? It has no impact on anything. It's literally a ledger. And I can't stress this enough. It has absolutely no more impact than writing down Kendrick Evans owns the Mona Lisa and everyone being like, yes, Kendrick Evans owns the Mona Lisa.
As long as everybody else who's also monitoring the ledger agrees that that's true, or it's not, like, you know.
Right, yeah, but now we get into DMCA territory and copyright infringement, because now some dickhead...
It has no legal implications outside anything. It's not recognized by any
right
country,
now.
Any... Yeah, and it is unlikely to change.
Oh, okay. All right, then
This is like people buying original pieces of artwork, right? Like, we're talking about, like, somebody who created the, like, Scumbag Steve meme. Like, they could have an NFT on their, like, original piece of digital art that proves that they're the one that created it, because they're the one in the blockchain that says they owned
again,
it or something.
All they're doing is writing their name down and a name that represents the thing, saying, I owned this.
Yeah, and
that's literally all it is, and it's only recognized by other things in the blockchain.
Yeah. And so if you're let, if this is probably where I'm getting it wrong, Kendrick, but like, there's not like the one glorious blockchain. A ledger can be started by anybody and can be validated by any number of other people, as far as I understand it. Like,
so the idea is that the blockchain is decentralized into dozens of servers and dozens of clusters across all kinds of things, and there are many nodes, so that a certain number of them have to get corrupted before it causes a cascade failure and the ledger fails, which is not that hard, frankly, but it is hard enough that it's not worth doing.
But the one that is used to store blockchain information is the same one used to store NFTs and all that stuff, right? It's the blockchain.
I think Ethereum is the one that's doing all these NFTs right now. That is a blockchain that is decentralized, and that is that. The Bitcoin is a different blockchain that is also decentralized.
So technically, you could come up with your own blockchain and try to, you know, destabilize other blockchains. And your own NFTs and stuff like that.
If you were to create your own blockchain and do your own NFTs, that's fine. It wouldn't interact with the other ones, because you'd be making your own protocols and stuff.
But it would from a currency value perspective, right? Like what people are investing in and what people see value in.
If you started to get the clout, the fiat currency clout kind of thing to do that, then yes. But right now, the big ones are things like Ethereum and Bitcoin, and for some reason Dogecoin. But I think that's just because Elon Musk is a troll.
Well, anyway, so we're at time. But how do you guys feel about NFTs at listening out there? Us rambling.
It's like the deed to a 97 Honda Civic.
The deed's actually useful, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. It's you writing down that you own the deed, and then me signing that saying, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Kevin had that deed once."
Which that's still more respected than NFTs.
Right.
That's at least DNA testable. But anybody could have peed in your back seat, so you don't really want
to. Yeah, no, that's probably the best analogy. That's Kevin swearing that he has the deed. I don't have it. I don't see it. But he says he has it. And all of us being like, yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, I think I remember Kevin having it at one point.
Yeah, he's definitely got that deed.
Yeah, sure. Totally makes sense. Yeah, Kevin's got it. I think Kevin got that. Boom. Kevin, can we have a ride?
Our own blockchain.
Yep, it's a analog blockchain.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Like, comment, and subscribe, everybody.
Woohoo!
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.